In this season of Advent, as we wait on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will do so prayerfully. Each Sunday morning, we have been practicing a different type of prayer together. Some of these forms of prayer may have been familiar, and some, I'm certain, were new to you. This morning, we will practice together the prayer of dwelling in the Word. In the prayer of dwelling in the Word, we allow ourselves to be open to the Holy Spirit, showing us how to pray from the Word of God. The prayer of dwelling in the Word is not new to our church family. It's been a central part of our Go Local initiative over the last 2 years, and many of you have participated in a dwelling in the Word experience together in the last 2 years. Our passage, John 14, 23 through 27, will be on the screen. I invite you to follow along with the reading on the screen or to follow along in your personal Bible if you have it handy with you. I will read the passage slowly once. As I read, listen for a word, an image, a phrase, or a question that comes to your mind that stands out to you, captures your attention, or in some way makes an impression in your heart or mind. When something strikes you, it's okay if you'd like to stop following the rest of the reading and allow your mind and heart to focus on what has captured your attention. After the reading, we will take 2 minutes of silence to reflect on what the Holy Spirit has brought to our attention. This week, there'll be no music behind our prayer, but there will be a countdown timer for 2 minutes. It'll be a 1 minute counter that repeats twice. So that'll give you a little help in knowing where we are. During that time of silent prayer, you may want to turn what the Spirit brought to you into a breath prayer to use in that silence, like we practiced last week. If nothing particular comes to you in the reading, that's okay. Just enjoy sitting in silence with God as we learned to do last week. After the silence, I will read the passage again. Listen this time more deeply and pay attention to the words, phrases, and images or questions which the Holy Spirit draws to your attention. We'll have 2 periods of silence, and I will make some guiding statements to orient your reflection and prayer during those periods. We're ready to begin. Find a comfortable position in your seat, in a posture that feels natural and supported and relaxed, and one that will cultivate a sense of space and quiet and openness of heart. Breathe deeply and relax. Let your mind and heart come to this moment as we enter into prayer. Be aware that God is here with us right now. I will say a brief prayer and then we will read our passage. O Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts to you. Speak to us through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. As we enter our time of silent prayer, sit with the Lord with what the Holy Spirit has brought to your mind and heart. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." As we enter into our next period of silent prayer, invite God into your exploration of the word or image, question, whatever he brought to you. In your heart, speak directly to God and ask God about what he is showing you. In what way is the word that he has put before you, choosing you, unnerving you, challenging you, or comforting you? Just trust God's voice there. In our closing time of prayer, turn your full attention to what the Spirit has given you this morning from God's Word. And now before God, ask Him, what does this mean to you right now? And how might this be important for your life right now and into the coming week or weeks ahead? As we bring our time of prayer to a close, I will voice a prayer for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us this morning through your word. As we go through our worship and our week, please keep teaching us, reminding us of what you have said to us in these quiet moments with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have we seen our peace lately? Stress often washes over our peace at Christmas time. Are you feeling stress at work or by all you must do? Well, just consider Santa Claus's workload. Someone figured out that if Santa only serviced the 526 million Christian children in the world who are under the age 14, it would mean that Santa must deliver presents to 22 million kids an hour, every hour, on the night before Christmas. That is about 365,000 kids a minute, about 6,100 a second. Of course, Santa's actual workload is much heavier because those numbers do not include the children of non-Christian families to whom Santa also makes deliveries. Then consider that when flying over the United States, Santa must avoid detection by the North American Aerospace Defense Command while driving a large flying sleigh whose lead reindeer has a very shiny nose. Santa's workload boggles the mind. It's easy to see why Santa only makes one run a year. It takes the other 364 days to recover from the stress of that one night's work. In previous years, we've had workload stress, hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping and attending parties and events that left us weary. But this year is different. Parties, shopping, baking, cleaning, family meals and gift swapping, the persistent checklist of demands which may have caused us stress and anxiety last year, for many of us this year are replaced by the fear, the concern, the trouble, the disappointment of the novel coronavirus or giving it to someone we love. Welcome to Christmas with COVID. So the Kaiser Family Foundation found that 2/3 of the public are worried that they or their family will get sick from coronavirus. The hustle and bustle of having too much to do during the holiday season gives way to trouble and disappointment of uncertainty, isolation, the loss of routine, and the loss of treasured traditions. The feeling of trouble and disappointment are common in this Christmas season. However, Christmas trouble and disappointment are nothing new. In fact, the first Christmas began with trouble and disappointment. After a long, weary journey, there was no room in the inn for Joseph and ready to give birth Mary. Joseph and Mary were obviously expecting a decent place to rest and to sleep. Do you think they might have felt troubled, a bit worried about how they would make do? Do you think Mary felt disappointed and troubled about giving birth to her first child in a stable? The first Christmas was not near as romantic as we make it out to be. It was not all sweetness and light. The good stuff did not happen until Joseph and Mary navigated together the trauma. Now you just think about this. This was their first child. Neither of them had been through this before. And they're going through the trauma of the birth of their first child in a stable when they were bone tired, alone, isolated by themselves, no family, no friends were there to help. And beyond that, giving birth in the best of conditions was dangerous, much less in the natural filth of a stable. I expect Joseph and Mary experienced their fair share of trouble and disappointment on that first Christmas. Should our troubles surprise us? Jesus told us we would have trouble in this world. At the same time, Jesus promises us peace in our trouble. Jesus holds together the coexistence of the reality of our human trouble and the joy and the peace that we can have in Him. Our favorite Christian hymns, or our favorite Christmas hymns, reflect this truth. Joy to the world! The Lord has come. He comes to make His blessings flow as far as the curse is found. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. Yet, with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. If we will open ourselves to the promise of Jesus, we can have peace in our COVID Christmas. We can have peace in our troubles and disappointments whenever they come to us. In our passage this morning, Jesus promises us peace. Jesus tells us who can expect to have peace. And Jesus tells us what is necessary to have peace. We begin with the promise of peace. What is peace? The Bible in the Old and New Testaments understands peace through the Hebrew concept of shalom, wholeness and well-being in every area of our lives. The word translated leave in this verse also occurs 45 times in the New Testament, translated as forgive, forgives, or forgiven. Jesus' choice of words may allude to the quality of forgiveness that is the basis of real peace, which Jesus leaves with us. Without God's forgiveness, there can be no genuine peace for us in this life or the next. This sets up Jesus' statement about the special, unique nature of our peace. The peace that we have is peace that only Christ can give. Jesus said, "My peace I give." J.C. Ryle wrote, quote, "Peace is specially Christ's own to give, because He bought it by his own blood, purchased it by his own substitution, and is appointed by the Father to dispense it to a perishing world. End quote. Only in Christ is peace found. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. To be in Jesus is to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and to give our full devotion to Him. Those of us who are in Jesus have the promise of peace. Those who are in the world have only the world's promise of peace. The world cannot give us peace. The world tells us that the peace we should expect and strive for from this life is the absence of trouble and suffering. But it is a fool's offering and a fool's quest to seek that kind of peace. Because in this world, we will have trouble. Built upon the quality and uniqueness of the peace that Jesus gives to everyone who is in Him, Jesus gives us this command. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The sense of this phrase in the Greek would be something like this. Do not let distress, affliction, danger, or need shape your identity. Do not be lacking conviction, boldness, or courage in the face of these things. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Because we are in Christ and Christ lives in us, the real and sometimes horrible things we suffer need not be the defining quality of our lives. This past week I spoke on the phone with my good friend Tim, and because we're putting this on the internet, I won't mention Tim's last name, but many of you know Tim, and he's a part of a ministry that's very close to our church. And Tim has melanoma cancer in his brain, and he has been through an incredible ordeal, horrible suffering. And yet, there is a quality of peace in Tim's life that is absolutely unexplainable apart from Jesus. We saw that in Pastor Tim's life as well. And I believe, you know, throughout our lives, we have known friends, family members and acquaintances who the peace are demonstrated in times of extreme suffering was unexplainable, except for the fact that they belong to Jesus and they had this incredible, unique peace that transcends that suffering. They suffered, but they were not defined by their suffering. They were defined by the glory of Christ living through them, giving them faith, patience, and peace in the middle of that deep suffering. We have said that this kind of peace belongs to those who are in Christ. How do we know that we are in Christ? Well, there's four things that let us know that we are in Christ. Jesus tells us how to know we are in Him. First, we love Him. Well, how do we know that we love Jesus? We obey His teaching. And when we obey His teaching, the Father loves us as well. And when the Father, when we love Jesus and the Father loves us, then a miracle happens. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit move into our lives and take up permanent residence in us. Verse 27 clarifies that the Father and the Son live in us. Earlier in John 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." How do we know him? "For he lives with you and will be in you." Now we see that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in us. And we see that in all cases, this dwelling of the Holy Trinity in us rests on us loving Jesus by obeying His teaching, which holds His commands. The miracle of all miracles is that living in each true believer in Jesus is the God named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those who love Jesus by obeying His teaching and who by consequent have the God who is peace living in them can expect to enjoy the peace that is Jesus's alone to give. What is necessary to have peace? Of course, it is necessary to be in Christ, to love Jesus by obeying His teaching and as a result, having the life of God within us. But there is yet one thing that must happen before all of that can be our reality. Earlier in chapter 14, Jesus had a conversation with His disciple Philip that went like this. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work." Our most basic need is to believe that Jesus is God and that Jesus' words are God's words. We must believe the Father's words and the Son's words are the same words. They are the same message. This opens the door for us to experience the peace of forgiveness, which the Father makes possible for us through Jesus in His death for our sins and in His resurrection, which ensures our victory over sin and death. Before we can love Jesus by obeying His teaching, we must trust and receive Jesus' teaching that He is God and His words are God's words. Beyond this, as believers within whom the God of peace lives, we must still receive and trust Jesus' words as the Holy Spirit teaches them to us and reminds us of them. This is necessary for us to experience peace within our trouble. In our passage this morning, Jesus said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Holy Spirit who lives in us teaches us and reminds us of the words of the Father and the Son, which is the same message. The Holy Spirit making the Word of God personal to us is how the prayer of dwelling can help us experience peace. As we sit with the Word of God as we did this morning, the Holy Spirit takes the written Word of God that He knows we need to grasp. He brings it to our attention and gives us the ability to allow Him to apply that Word to our heart. As we sit with the Word of God in this way, we do not read the text to interpret it. Rather, we trust the Holy Spirit to take that text and let God's Word read us. Let God's Word show us our hearts, to show us how we can love Jesus by obeying His teachings. As the Holy Spirit highlights for us certain words or phrases, brings questions to our mind or images to our mind, we can allow the Holy Spirit to shape our prayers flowing from God's own words. In this way, we come to experience in our lives the reality of Jesus' teaching in John 15:7-8. "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The prayer of dwelling in the Word helps us to learn how to pray according to the will of God. Because the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit, our prayers to the Father and the Son flow from their own words. Our wishes, our desires become aligned with the will of God, and we experience more of those wishes and desires fulfilled in our lives. This Advent, we have prayed for the light of God's presence using the prayer of reflection. We have prayed for our hearts using the prayer of being, and for our peace using the prayer of dwelling in Word. Next Sunday, we will conclude Advent praying for our wholeness, using the Lord's Supper as our prayer of action. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the moments that we could spend together in your Word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that speaks to us through your Word and shapes our hearts. We thank you so much, Father, for your life in us, so that we are shaped and molded by you as you take your Word and apply it in our hearts and minds, so that we, no matter what the world throws at us, we are not defined by that. We are defined by the reality of what it means to be a child of the living God, to have peace that passes all understanding, because we believe and trust your holy word. And we believe and trust that you are taking that word and making it reality in our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.